It could be we have some folks here this morning that you're in a season of just being bombarded. It may seem like every way that you turn, you're being buffeted, tossed. Often, when you're in a severe season of attack, sometimes it's literal demonic attack. Sometimes when that's happening, it precedes a season of abundant blessing in your life. There's Scripture to back that up and support it. And the purpose of that buffeting by the enemy is to back you off, back you away from what God has waiting on you if you continue to persist and press your way forward. So we have to understand this about the nature of spiritual warfare. Some of you mothers here today know what it's like to contend for your children. Dads too, but the story we're going to be talking about today is about a desperate mother. Today I want to talk to you from a passage in Matthew 15. The parallel passage is in Mark chapter 7. I'm calling today's message, Dogs, a Demon, and a Desperate Woman. Dogs, a Demon, and a Desperate Woman. It's all right here in the Scripture, and there's going to be some truths and lessons that we're going to learn from this event in the life of Jesus as He interacted with this desperate woman that can help us in times when we're in warfare, can help us in those times when we're contending, trying to hang on. You know, one thing, I've watched enough National Geo and Nature Channel stuff to know if you're out like in Yellowstone, Montana, Wyoming, or up in Alaska around grizzly bears, you are, first of all, you want to stay away from close proximity, period. But you never want to get between a grizzly bear and her cubs, right? You got trouble on your hands if you do. And similarly, I'm talking to some Christian mamas here today. When the devil tries to get between you and your young ones, that warrior spirit rises up. Well, this woman we're about to read about, she's warring for her daughter. We're going to step into Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 and following, and let's join Jesus in the middle of the story. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. You've prayed some prayers like that, haven't you? And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Now, we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And three of them are called the Synoptic Gospels. That is, they will often share the same story. Now, certainly, this story is the case in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark. Synoptic means to see the same. And so, Mark gives us, what's really neat about the Gospels having the same stories from different people through whom the Holy Spirit was speaking, is that we get little bits of information from one and other information from the other, and we can put it all together and get more of the whole story. And that's the case here. Now, we've just read from Matthew. I don't have it on the screen, but let me share the first part of what Mark says. He says, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Basically the same thing. And he entered a house. Here's new information. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter, now we're told she's a young daughter, had an unclean spirit. Now we're told that that demon was an unclean spirit. She heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. More information. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. So now we got the whole story from Matthew and Mark's perspective. Now, I'm going to do a little different this morning. What I'm going to do, I'm going to share three major statements with you that we draw from this scripture. And then we're going to go and we're going to examine the woman, what she was doing, what she did, Jesus, what he was doing, what he did, and then what happened to the daughter who was possessed severely by the demon. You ready? Okay, note takers, first thing, first statement, demons are real and can severely affect people's lives and health. Demons are real and can severely affect people's lives and health. You know, one thing that amazes me in the culture in which we live now, a lot of people in church don't believe in this demon stuff, but everybody in the world knows it's true for the most part. I mean, Hollywood knows it. They're making millions off of movies about demons. The Bible teaches us that demons are real. They are spiritual entities. I believe they are made up of those fallen angels that fell in the first rebellion that we're told about happened in heaven when Lucifer rebelled against God. But demons are real, and they can severely affect people's lives. The scripture here that we just read, the Bible, these men recorded this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus bore witness to this. He never denies that she had a demon. It's interesting. He never denies that. He just casts them out and makes people whole. Right? So, the Bible bears witness to this morning. So, demons are real and they can severely affect people's health. I was ministering in a church a number of years ago, and the church, they believed in demons for sure, but they really didn't have a belief where they believed that demons could influence or affect the life of a believer. Now, I don't think a believer can be possessed by a demon, but a believer can be demonized, can be under the influence of a demon, can have strongholds in their thinking by a demon, their health can be affected by a demon, and so forth. There's scripture for all of that. Okay? But in this church during the ministry time, people were coming up, and a woman came up, and I knew her to be a leader in the church, and God was using her. She loved the Lord a whole lot. She had had a spinal condition for years. She was in constant pain with it. She came up for ministry. So I laid my hands on her, and I started praying. It was one of those times when I heard the Lord clearly speak to me. It wasn't one of those times when I had to stop and think, no, is this the Lord? It just came real strong. And I heard him say, there's a spirit of infirmity. Well, immediately I thought of Luke 13. Jesus dealt with a woman with a spirit of infirmity that was bent over. And I thought, okay, I've got Bible for this. And so I shared with her, I want to pray. I'm going to take authority over a spirit of infirmity. She looked at me a little strange. She said, well, all right. So I started praying, and I took authority. I bind you, you spirit of infirmity. I command you to leave this woman now in the name of Jesus. You know, come out of her. And I looked at her and I said, be loose. And just a simple prayer like that. Well, while I'm praying, she starts being affected. And then the next thing I know, she was laying in the floor. Now, I've seen that a number of times, but she was laying there, hands back, mouth wide open, jaw dropped, just like that, on her back. And here's the amazing thing. The pastor was standing beside me. He was a little bit astonished. I was a little bit astonished. And we bent over, and we're going to go down and pray with her some more. And we talked about this afterwards. With her mouth wide open, nothing moving, not a muscle on her body moving, there was this wind, this loud whoosh, like that just came out of her mouth. You could hear it, like a wind coming through a window, you know, whistling. It just came out of her. And as soon as that happened, her eyes came open, her face brightened, and she was fine. She stood up. She started moving around. She said, my goodness, all the pain's gone. God's healed me. Now, I stood there, and I witnessed that with my own eyes. And I've seen that kind of thing numbers of times. But I'm telling you that people's health can be affected by demonization. Now, I'm not saying if you're sick, there's a demon. If you're sick, we all get sick because we live in a sin-cursed world. There was no sickness until the curse came. So we all understand that. But there are times, there can be times, and I think discernment is needed, and the Holy Spirit will move, but when that can be the case. And it was the case in that instance. In this scripture, Matthew says she was severely demon-possessed. Mark said she had an unclean spirit. And we are told at the end of Matthew's account, her daughter was healed from that very hour. Healed. See, she not only was delivered, but she was healed. We'll talk more about that toward the end. But the major statement is demons are real and can severely affect people's lives and health. Sometimes they work just through speaking lies and getting us to accept lies. And the demon can go its way, but that lie then affects our thinking. For some reason, coming to me right now while I'm in this section is I feel like there's someone here that you've been through cancer recently, you know, last couple of years, something like that, and really went through an attack, and God saw you through it. And now, it's like there's times your mind is being bombarded concerning your children. We were singing earlier about children and children's children, and your mind is being bombarded about, oh my, I'm afraid, there's a fear there, about your daughter's children having to battle what you battled. Well, yeah, pray into that, but don't get under the fear of that. Yeah, don't let natural fear get you into a place of unbelief. You know, the Lord is saying, this is a word for ever who you, or there may be more than one, but I believe there's somebody here, because here we are. You need to pray into that. Lord, you saw me through this, and I thank you that, and I'm standing on the promises of God, and I'm declaring the blood of Jesus over my family line. This will not touch my children. This will not touch my children's children in Jesus' name. And see, the enemy can use the truth of the fact that we know he exists, and these kind of things can be associated with his activity to get us under a fear of him. I'm telling you that demons are real, and we're going to finish this story, and you're going to see Jesus sent this one packing. Because a woman got in under his authority, over her life, the demons. That's what the part that I want you to take home with you. Second statement. Borders, ethnicity, and religious beliefs are long-established problems in the world. Now, this is seen in this story we're studying this morning, okay? Now, I'm not saying that borders are sinful. Borders are good. God created borders. God put boundaries around Eden. He even put an angel with a flaming sword there. You know, when he gave Abraham land, he described how much and where it went. He had borders. So that's not, borders are not the problems. It's how people respond to a border being put in place. You put a boundary, and our human nature is to cross it. Wet paint. Our human nature is to... You know, that's, we have that part of us, right? So, it's not border. Ethnicity. Well, God created us different. Red, yellow, black, and white. Different ethnicities. And Jesus loves everybody. We're to love everybody. But how people respond to ethnicity births all kinds of prejudice and pride and hatred and hostility. Religious beliefs. If they're the right ones, that's awesome. If they're the wrong ones, you're in trouble. So these things are long-established problems in the world. It was no different in Jesus' day. And the problem here is this woman was from Canaan. Mark tells us she was a Syrophoenician woman. If you remember, Abraham, when God appeared to him and told him he had blessed the whole world through him, he gave him a promised land, brought his children back to it later, you know, 400 years later. But it was Canaan land. Well, this woman was from the original inhabitants that Israel had to drive out when they came in under Joshua's leadership and took God's land of promise to them. So, she was a Canaanite. She was also Syrophoenician. This is not saying she was two different things. It's saying she was a Syrophoenician, a Syrian Phoenician woman who lived in Canaan. She was all of that. She was all of that, and that was the problem. What was the problem? She wasn't a Jew. And that's what this interaction between her and Jesus is about. About when Jesus calls her, when Jesus tells her, you know, I've only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she has understanding of that. She knew he was son of David. So that was an issue. Issue for his disciples. Send her away, Lord. Why? Because the Jews have no dealings with Gentiles. You remember in John 4 when Jesus went to Samaria? I mean, Jews avoided going there, but not Jesus. A centurion came to Jesus. Everybody else avoided them, but not Jesus. So she comes to Jesus in her territory. He's in Tyre and Sidon, that seaside area there in Canaan. And so, but that was the issue. That was the problem with that Jesus shares with her. You know, you're here, you're wanting this, but I came for the house of Israel. Well, we've already read the whole story. We know she's going to end up in the right place. But this is the problem she's having to overcome. She is used to Jewish people telling her, you're not in. You know, you can't have the covenant promises. Third major statement. There can still be room for a yes. And this one's really important. There can still be room for a yes when everything looks like a no. There can still be room for a yes when everything looks like a no. Jesus never told her no. But everything he did, everything that was going on around him, appeared to send the message, you're out. This is not for you. You're knocking on the wrong door. But she did not let that stop her. Why? She was desperate. Why? Because she loved her daughter. Why? Because she had gotten news. Before this, previous chapter, Jesus is healing everybody left and right in a region, and religious leaders came, started their stuff, and he goes to Tyre and Sidon, finds him a house maybe to get some rest away from everybody, and she finds him. There can still be room for a yes when everything looks like a no. I went through these two passages, and let me just present this to you, just to paint this picture a little brighter for you. First of all, Jesus was in a place where he was trying to hide from the people. That was a barrier she had to overcome. Secondly, that's Mark 7:24. Jesus does not want anybody to know where he was. It specifically says that in Mark 7:24, he wanted no one to know it. This man was, Jesus, was wanting to get away, have some downtime, so to speak, away from the crowds. He didn't want people to know what house he was in. And yet she found him. The next barrier. Word leaked out concerning where he was. The next thing, he remained silent when she first began speaking. Lord, help me. My daughter's severely demon-possessed. I mean, can you imagine standing in Jesus' presence? Lord, help me. My daughter's severely possessed. And Jesus is standing there. Not saying anything. You know, if you go up to somebody and you try to start talking to them, you can't get them to say anything back to you. That usually means what? They're not interested. Go your way. So his initial response was, silence. Silence. Then it says that the disciples got involved. They urged Jesus to send her away. Not only is Jesus not saying anything, the disciples are saying something. Jesus, send her. Get that woman out of here. You know, it's interesting. They're not just saying, shoo, get on out of here. They're saying, Jesus, send her away. Everything she's seeing, hearing, and probably feeling is saying, wrong place, wrong time, you're unwanted. Next, Jesus finally speaks, and then he tells her he was not there to help her, but the Jewish people. Now that doesn't sound like a yes either. Then he says, it's not a good thing for me to give you what's on the table for them. Everything that is happening seems to be saying no, and none of it has the hint of a yes in it. Then Jesus tells her that, as a matter of fact, the children of Israel are to be filled. Not you. And then in addition, he references the dog word. It is not good to give the children's bread to the dogs, Mark says, to the little dogs, Matthew says. Picture sitting at the table, throwing the scraps on the food, and the little dogs get it. My mama's got a little dog. She doesn't do it that way. She lets the dog eat first and then she eats. She loves her doggy. But here, when Jesus says to the dogs, it was also a term used in the culture that day by Jewish people when referring to Gentiles. It meant they were unclean. And the Lord had told them in the Old Testament era, come out from among them and be holy. Don't intermarry with them. Don't do things the way they do things. And so over time, it's like Gentiles are off limit. Now, they didn't obey that through the Old Testament era. They quickly took their gods and did the stuff they did and so forth. But that was part of their thinking. The Gentiles were the dogs. Now, I know most of us, let's be honest here for a moment, okay? When we read this story, we feel sorry for this woman. How could Jesus do this? We get a little offended at Jesus. Okay, sidebar, insert a little theological tip. Never entertain thoughts that indicate to you that Jesus did something sinful. Okay? The way he responded was not sinful. Theological tip number two in the same sidebar. Remember how Jesus taught us that he processed things, how he processed situations when he were in the middle of them. We would do well to learn tip number two as well. He said in John 5, he only did what he saw the Father doing. The verses around that together mean he only spoke what he heard the Father speaking. Right? So now we have a situation, And Jesus is not saying anything to this woman. And it looks like everything's a no. And then he basically references her as one of the dogs, the Gentiles. This means that Father God was leading him to do things this very way. And we're going to find out why a little further around the curve. Not too far, but a little further around the curve. So you can just leave that on your plate for a few moments, because it's part of this. There can still be room for a yes when everything looks like a no. Because we need to talk about, why is everything looking like a no? Why is God dealing with this situation in this way? Now, transition. We're going to look at the woman for a moment and talk about some things the text tells us about her to help us in our life when we've got these pressing needs and we're needing God to break into our life and bring a blessing. Notice, she was persistent in asking Jesus to help her. Mark says she kept on asking for him to cast the demon out. She didn't have any trouble knowing what was wrong with her daughter, and Jesus never contradicts her. As a matter of fact, he gives her just what she wants, and he deals with that demon. But she was persistent in asking Jesus to help her. She kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter, Mark 7:26. Present tense. Kept on asking, and in the middle of this, the disciple says, "Send her away from us. She's bothering us." She keeps, she's saying, "Help me, help me, help me. Cast the demon out of my daughter. Deal with this demon in my daughter's life. Jesus, you can do this. Help me." You know, we're getting summaries here, but we can only imagine what she's praying, what she's asking him to do. Emphasis right now, she was persistent. We must be persistent in our prayer life when we know it's something God desires to do in someone's life. In other words, we know it's God's will. Is it God's will for people to be possessed by demons? Answer, no. Correct answer, no. It is not God's will. So, she's asking for something that's God's will. Secondly, she's persistent because she's asking the right person. All the evidence indicates she's got her crosshairs on Jesus, not Peter, not Andrew, not John. She's got her crosshairs on Jesus because we begin to see her responses. She worshiped Jesus. Mark tells us she fell at his feet. Matthew records, she worshiped Jesus. You don't worship people. You worship God. She's already said, "Lord, help me." Lord. She references him as Lord. Help me. She's already called him Son of David. It's interesting here. She is a Gentile woman, and prophetically, she's more in tune with who Jesus really is than all those religious leaders that he had just dealt with a few verses before. She understood there is a connection between you and the David of Israel when the kingdom was at peace and when and his son Solomon and all that. She had an innate awareness, and she had heard about Jesus. She had no trouble believing he can cast out demons, he can heal people. She had probably heard the stories. She came and she worshiped him. I'm telling you this morning, if you're battling disease in your body, if you've got demonization going on in your family, in your home, in your life, if you're dealing with stuff that man can't handle, I encourage you, you get at the feet of Jesus. You begin to worship Jesus. You begin to exalt Jesus. That came out in our worship service this morning. We sung the song, "Worship is our warfare." We could sense the presence of God. We had a unknown tongue that came forth, followed by an interpretation, basically, that was pointing us in that same direction about how our praise is a weapon and how the enemy has to flee when we start worshiping God. We got the story of in Jehoshaphat's day when the people came out and they fired up the band and they began to sing and the people began to worship and the atmosphere was filled with praise and worship and the enemy was routed. Your victory relies on you getting at the feet of Jesus, persistently praying and exalting and and worship Him as the victory-given Son of David, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. She worshiped Jesus. And then, this is the big boy right here in this story. I'll tell you something. Everything she's doing is right on. But this is the deal breaker. If this had not happened, what she got probably would not have happened. She possessed a humble, unoffended heart. What are you talking about? Because this text says that Jesus says it's not good to take the children's bread from the table. By the way, there's bread for God's children on the table. It is a reference to the very thing this woman got, deliverance and healing. I'm telling you, the master's table's got plenty of bread on it. The bread is Jesus. He's the bread that came down from heaven. Deliverance and healing comes through Jesus. But she didn't get offended when he referenced her as a Gentile dog. He didn't do it ugly. He didn't do it mean. We'll talk about why he did it in a moment. Keep waiting. But the fact that she responded in the right way kept her where she needed to be to get what she desired to get. There have been many prayers that remained unanswered because somebody got offended. There have been many miracles God was getting ready to do, but they got put back on the shelf because somebody got offended right before it was going to be served up. That's another work of the enemy. She possessed a humble, unoffended heart. You see, she didn't say, "Oh my goodness, you know how far I walked to get here? You know how long it took me to find out where you were? You know how long I've been out there trying to get to the door and how long I knocked on the door? And I've worshipped at your feet. I've called you the Son of David. And now you're treating me this way." Her daughter would remain as she was. Just like Naaman had the little servant girl in the book of Kings. He had leprosy. And she came to him and said, "I know a man in Israel who's a prophet that you can go to with your leprosy." Well, my goodness, he loaded up the ships. He heads out, makes a long journey, gets there, and then Elijah sends out Gehazi, his servant, and goes out, and the servant tries to tell him, he says, "You need to go wash in the Jordan River." And Naaman said, "Doesn't he know who I am? I came from the king's house, Syria. Huh? We got much cleaner rivers back where I came from than this muddy Jordan water. He's got all puffed up. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know the sacrifice I've made to come here? I'm giving you a chance to show me what you can do." And then the servant pleaded with him, "Hey, you've come this far. Why not do what he tells you to do?" He humbled himself. Went down, and because he was told, "You go down there and you dip 7 times in the Jordan, the muddy Jordan." He goes down there and he dips. You know, when he come up the 5th time, he is just as leprous as he has ever been. When he came up the 6th time, he is just as leprous as he had ever been. He could say, "You know what? This is not working. I'm tired of this. I'm making a fool." He didn't do that. He went on down the 7th time. When he came up, his skin was like a newborn baby. He got his healing. Why? Because he did not let an offense keep him from pressing in that next step to get what he knew only God could give him. Oh, if you're bearing an offense this morning, understand it's like TNT in your soul. It can blow to pieces the things that God's wanting to do. It can mess up the miracle He wants to give you. It can hinder the healing that could come. Don't become offended. Sometimes our offense is like this. We hear a testimony of somebody that got their healing. And it's like, instead of rejoicing, it's like, I don't understand. I'm in church more than they are. I probably give more than they give. I know I know more about the Bible than they do. I've been saved a lot longer than they've been saved. If you're not careful, that carnal nature can get you into a place of offense where faith's wanting you to go, send you to the party and celebrate with somebody that's got their breakthrough. Because when you're doing that, that becomes a form of worship where you're sowing the seed for you to get your breakthrough. Because God is not a respecter of persons. She possessed an humble, unoffended heart. I remember the night my life was changed. I'd been a Baptist preacher for 14 and a half years at that time. And the Lord's just dealing with me about there's more of the Holy Spirit than I'd ever experienced. I didn't fully understand all that, but I knew I had a hunger growing in my heart. I had started to experience some of the gifts, but there was more. And I slipped off. Some of you have heard my testimony. I slipped off to, I was pastoring First Baptist Church of Haleville, Alabama at the time, and I slipped away to a meeting out at Faith Tabernacle back in those days. The preacher from Brownsville Assembly of God was there. And they were having one Holy Ghost throwdown, a revival. I'd never been in an atmosphere like that. I'd never been around anything like that. And in the middle of it, I'm seeing stuff that I'd never seen before. And I was freezing up about it. You know, I ended up on the front row. That's another story. But there was, I stood there, and my friend that took me, I don't know if Brother David's here today or not, Brother David Duncan, and he came and said, he said, Dr. Lawrence, wouldn't you like to have him pray for you? I said, no, that's all right. I'll just stand right here. But there was this turmoil going on inside of me. And finally, I found myself thinking, you know what? I've come so far. Lord, everything I've stepped into is just bringing blessing into my life. And if this is you, I want it. I don't care what anybody thinks. I humbled myself. And I wheeled out in the altar, and a man came and laid hands on me, and I'll just leave it as this. My body shook. The weight of glory came on me. Things started happening in my life that I'd never seen before in my life. God started answering prayer. I started hearing God's voice. It just opened up a whole new dimension for me when I was empowered in that way by the Holy Spirit of God. Might as well let the secret out of the bag. It doesn't bother God to offend your religious ideas that are off track. Another thing about this woman, she had an unshakable faith in Jesus. She humbled herself. Lord, I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. I don't deserve that bread up there. That's for Israel. That's not mine. I'm a Gentile. But you know, even the little dogs that run around under the table, they get some of the crumbs. I don't deserve it, but Lord, I'm asking for you. You have mercy on me. She's appealing to His compassion, and Jesus had plenty of it to appeal to. And we'll talk about why He waited in just a moment. She had an unshakable faith in Jesus. Winston Churchill, who was so gallant and brave and courageous and such a bold leader during World War II in England, he made a statement. He said, God made a bulldog the way He did so it can hang on and still breathe. That's this woman here. She's hanging on, come what may. She's not letting go. You remember when Karen Wheaton came through here last year and she shared the story of her daughter that was away from the Lord and how she held on to the promises of God, how she prayed them back to God, and that people would say this, and people would say that. Well, it looks like this. It don't look like that's going to happen. She held on to the Word of God until at last she got her breakthrough. And I remember when it happened, I was communicating with her. She says, "It is as if I awakened from a dream. God broke through," and she got her breakthrough. And I'm encouraging you, saints of God, this morning, don't you give up. You have an unshakable faith in Jesus. Jesus can do what man can't do. He loves you. He died for you. As a believer, His Spirit's in you. As a believer, the promises of God, they're for you. Those promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Listen, not only do you get the crumbs, but you are now in Christ Jesus, the Son of David. You get what's on the table. All the benefits are yours this morning. Let's talk about Jesus in this story briefly. First of all, He listened to her cries. We get hung up on, and He said not a word. But see, again, there's a lot more going on there than Him being silent. He's waiting on the Holy Ghost. He's listening to her. He is hearing her cries. Now, from her perspective, nothing's happening. He's ignoring her. Won't even talk to her. From His perspective, He's not going to say anything until He hears what Father wants Him to say. He's not going to do anything until He sees what the Father wants Him to do. Note that. Live by that. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Well, He was, and He did. We are, we should. He listened to her cries. Here we go. He tested her resolve. I believe this is a lot of what was behind the way He dealt with her. Are you here just because you're trying anything, anywhere, from anybody? Am I just the next box on your list? I'm amazed. There's people that desperation leads you to do desperate things. Sometimes desperation leads you to do stupid things. Desperation can lead you to do sinful things. I remember in a church one time, one of the leaders, one of the deacons, lost this valuable thing, and he went to the local witch in the county, fortune teller, to try to find out where it was. Now that's not biblical. And that's got a lot of stupid on it, but it's a lot more serious than that. Because when you go to the dark side to get revelation, you can get some. And it comes with the other stuff with it. Baits you to where you'll want to go back. Stay away from it. You want to hear from God? You're not going to hear from God through a Ouija board. You want to hear from God? You're not going to hear from God through astrology. You want to hear from God? You're not going to hear from God through Wiccan practices. You're not going to hear from God through necromancy. You're not going to hear from God through tarot cards. You're not going to hear from God through the arts on the dark side. You're not going to hear from God that way. Now, you will one day hear from God that way. Depart from me, I never knew you. We're children of the light. He was testing her resolve. After all, she's coming from Canaanite territory. And she's coming with some good stuff. But I believe part of it was, are you really serious? And see, I think Jesus got tested for 40 days. Well, let's see if you're the Son of God. Father allowed the devil to tempt Him and test Him. In this case, Jesus, by His responses, is testing her. Are you serious? Are you going to give up? Is this really about me, or is it just about the next thing? It's like the seed that falls and people gobble it up, and then in a little bit they're gone. The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, they go on to the next thing. But when that seed gets in your heart and you're born again, you're made a new creation. And there's a difference in your life. I believe He was testing her resolve. He gave her what she desired. When she humbled herself, He said, "What great faith. Because You've done this." In other words, because you humbled yourself, you didn't become offended. And because you appealed to my mercy and my compassion, because you recognize who I am, that I alone can do this for you, be it done to you what you've desired. She got her breakthrough. Sometimes, you know, we're warring and we're pressing in. Don't give up. Again, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't allow all the stuff that's going on that looks like a no to keep you from getting your yes when you know it's what God really wants for you. Jesus, He demonstrated His love for all people by healing, by responding to this woman, answering her request, and healing and delivering her daughter. Now, a couple of other things I want to point out is He stepped into the future. You see, He came back not just to save Israel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said. For it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then the Greek. And then the Greek. For, in other words, for the Jews, they will get it first and then the Gentiles. It's not Gentile time yet, but her faith caused Him to step into the future and get that for her and grant it to her, even though she was not Jewish. Not only that, because it happened on Pentecost. After He died, His blood was shed, the redemption was settled, He conquered death through His resurrection, He ascended by the Father's right hand, and He was given authority over everything. Then, He poured out the Spirit on all flesh, as it was prophesied. So, He is forerunning for her because she is forerunning for her daughter. Not only that, He stepped into the past. God promised Abraham, through your seed, all the nations are going to be blessed. Ratified it again with Isaac, ratified it again with Jacob, mentioned it again and again through the prophets. That Abrahamic covenant. He promised Abraham that land and said, through you, your seed, the whole world will be blessed. Now this woman's coming, she's connecting. Oh, you're the seed of David. You're in the right lineage for the Messiah. And then, not only that, she's coming from Canaan. That was part of the territory God had promised Abraham. So based on a promise He made to Abraham in the past, this woman's coming, recognizing who He is, worshiping He is, and asking for what God can do through Him. Just like you and I, we ask Father God to do things for us through Him, through Jesus' name. He stepped into the past. Another application I want to make at this juncture, this weekend, again, is Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year, head of the Hebrew year, Jewish year. We celebrate also January 1 is the head of our Gregorian calendar, and we have our celebrations for that. And that's the reason we started the service today with the blowing of the shofar. But also, it's the year 5784, and those people who dive deeper into the Hebrew language and everything, we're being told that this is, in part, a year of doors opening before us. Doors opening before us. And so that's a beautiful word. And so I believe Jesus here, we're seeing in this interaction, Jesus is opening a door for this woman, though she's a Gentile. This woman in her faith is opening a door for her children to get a blessing from Jesus. It is her fate. So if these words are accurate, then you see, God's going to be presenting opportunities, but you're going to have to step through it in faith. You're going to have to recognize it. And again, everything may be saying this is not right, this is a no, but if in your heart you're following what the Lord's giving you to do, then remember, it can be a yes. You've got to step forward with persistent faith. Now let me tell you something about doors that God opens that you want to step through. You need to realize that is a door of opportunity. There's things that are going to happen for you and in your life if you step through that door that will not happen if you do not. Secondly, let me say this. Not only is it an opportunity, but there will be challenges. This woman stepped through a literal door in a house where the literal Jesus was. And her challenge did not stop there, did it? Just because you're being challenged doesn't mean it's not God. As a matter of fact, as I started today, I told you that often severe seasons of attack are preceding abundant seasons of blessing. And so the enemy is trying to back you off so that you won't get that blessing. So be paying attention to that in this season. Is there some new door that seems to be opening? First, find out, is this what Father's doing? Devil can open doors too. But if it's what Father's doing, you'll be allured by the opportunities, which is good. That should excite you. But don't be detoured by the challenge that comes with the opportunity. Because the just live by faith. This woman got her breakthrough because of her faith. And so it will be with us. And I'm concluding, as our worship team comes, briefly about the demon-possessed daughter. She was delivered from the demon. Went out that very hour. Mark says, when Mama got home, the girl was delivered and was lying in the bed. The demon was gone. Matthew says that she was healed. That tells us not only was she delivered, but she was healed. She got what she needed. Simply put, she got her life back. There may be some of you this morning, you feel like your dreams have died. You feel like, well, life like I thought it was going to be, the good stuff I thought God had for me, that's over, red X'd. No, 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 no. God specializes in restoration, making all things new, giving you the power through Jesus' name and blood to overcome. There's no demon or any two-legged devil that can keep you out of the blessing God has for you if you'll just press in and worship Jesus and believe with all your heart. Back in the latter rain healing movements when there was such an abundance of miracles and signs and wonders across this United States during the 1940s, 1950s. You know what the major theme song was that was often used in those healing meetings and those big tent meetings? Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. And they would pray and believe. And so forth. That was their theme song. Our part is just to believe. Isn't that something that the God of this universe has made it so simple that to ultimately get what He wants to give us, all we've got to do is believe. Simple, childlike faith. And when you reduce it to those terms, that means this morning, you're one step away from positioning yourself right where you need to be for God to begin to do or finish doing what He's been doing for you to get your breakthrough. Don't give up. Be encouraged. Because in this story about dogs and a demon and a desperate woman, we see a compassionate Savior full of power and authority. We see the power of faith and persistent prayer. And we can see the devil trying to mess it all up. And we can see the carnal nature of men trying to stop it. But she got her breakthrough. And you can too. I want you to stand with me, please. Wow, so grateful that you are here this morning. Our prayer team members are coming forward. Just come on up. Stand about 3 foot in front of these altars in case some people also want to just come and kneel at the altar. Leave a little room for them to kneel if they want to come kneel and pray. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart today. If you need someone to pray with you, we are here. Love on you, agree with you, pray for you. We believe God ordained that we do this. This is scriptural. This is a biblical part of what we believe the church is to do for people, is to pray for you, minister to you. I want you to bow your heads for a moment, if you would. And I would like for you to begin to pray and ask God how this message speaks to you. What is He saying to you? Is there a decision you need to make this morning? Is there an offense you need to let go of? Do you need to see discouragement for what it's really doing? It's robbing you of what could be. Let faith arise in your heart so that God will arise and you'll see your enemies scattered. Are there others you need to come? Perhaps you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. That'll be the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. But it as well is made by simple childlike faith. I encourage you to come. Someone here will pray with you. You can settle that in your heart and know that your sins are forgiven. If you feel God's dealing with you and you'd like for someone to talk with you about that later, you can take that card out of the back of the seat in front of you. Just put your name and a way to contact you and just check that box. I want to know more, or I want to give my life to Christ, or I want to be baptized. You can also let us know about your decision in that way. Father God, I thank You for the privilege and opportunity we have this morning to worship together and to hear from Your Word. Lord, is there anything else You want us to see? Is there anything else You want said? Is there something You want to do? Make that known, Lord. Perhaps there's someone earlier in the service when I was getting that word. I do believe that's at least for one someone, if not more, about dealing with that fear of your children going through what you've gone through. Come and have someone pray with you. I believe the breath of God is on that. I feel like there may be a mother who needs to come pray for her daughter similarly to this. Oh, dear saint, don't give up. Press in. We're going to worship just a moment, then I'm going to release you.
Spirit of glory, there's freedom.
Freedom in the house this morning.
Spirit of glory.
Are there others? Come on. Of our leaders to come and pray, please. If there's a yes in your heart, don't pay attention to the no's all around you, okay? Step into that yes. Lean into what the Spirit is speaking to your heart this morning. It's a beautiful thing to see people receiving ministry from their brothers and sisters. Are there others who need to come? This is your moment. I'm hearing, I'm just going to say this. If it doesn't speak to you, just that's fine. Disregard it. It may sound a little out there, but I'm just saying what I'm hearing. I hear the Lord said, it happened in 1983, and you've never gotten over it. A hard blow landed on you in 1983. You've never gotten over it. Today's the day for you to get over it. I'm here to help you. I think that means something very specific for someone. And I believe the Lord, that's a 40-year-old thing right there. That's a long time for something to build a wall in your heart. And the Lord wants to deal with that this morning. I encourage you to come. just are declaring healing this morning. We are declaring freedom this morning. We're declaring wholeness and salvation today. And we're going to continue ministering. If you would, hold up your hand. May God bless you this coming week. May His grace abound in your life. May His peace guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May the angels of the Lord surround you about. May no plague come near your dwelling. May the spirit of wisdom and revelation and spiritual understanding be upon you this coming week. May you hear from heaven what you need here on earth. May you be led by the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be blessed and go forth now and be salt and light into this world around us. Live big, boldly, and bravely for Jesus. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. We thank God for Rebecca, just had a kidney transplant. And here she is. We thank God for seeing Pastor Larry through this week. He's here today. Thank you for being here today. The altar remains open. So good to see you all.